This is the save point. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Welcome to the save point, episode 39. I am your host, Alyssa Rosa, and I'm here with my co-host, Mondo, aka Chocolate the Mangu. How you doing today, Mondo?
I'm good. It sounded like you were about to say co-host with the most. It sounded like that.
I should have said. Next time, I will definitely say that.
Got you. But I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Cool. Had a good day, you know?
I feel that. We did have a good day.
Yep. So today, we recorded an episode, a special episode with a special guest, Todd Fanon. He voices Taro in the upcoming game, Kena, Bridge of Spirits. And we got to sit down with him, pretty much chat about the game a little bit, but also really what it was like for him growing up as a childhood actor and all the way till now as like a voice actor. So we hit all marks and we had a really good time chatting with him, and we just wanted to share it with you guys.
Yeah, it's a really good episode. Tune in. Enjoy. Yeah.
Hi. Hey, can you hear me?
Yes. Hey. Yeah.
Hey, Ty. Hi. So, hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. I'm sorry I got caught up in a Newsweek video on Instagram, and I couldn't believe what I was watching. And then I'm like, oh no!
It's perfectly fine. Totally no fine. Worries. Okay. My name is Alyssa. This is Armando, my co-host. And just to give you a little sum up of our podcast, A Safe Point, we really just talk about upcoming gaming news and games in general, also anime, tech, things like that. So we're really excited to have you on today because we're really looking forward to Kena, Bridge of Spirits, but we're also just really excited to talk to you about like the acting process, like or the voice acting process in general. So yeah.
We'll plug it in the beginning. Alyssa has long-term aspirations of a voice acting potential, yeah. You know?
So,
large interest there.
Cool. So we would really love for you to start out by telling us, or telling our audience really, like who you are and how you got into acting.
I'm Todd Fanel. Hi, thanks so much for having me on. I'm really excited as well to meet you both and to talk about the game and a bit about myself. I am a voice actor. Sorry. As I say that, I lose my voice, right? sorry. I think I had a coaching session.
It was you just really got rough. Out of a session. If anybody didn't think it wasn't hard work.
Right.
Yeah, we do. We have to watch out for our voices. Seriously. We have to drink water constantly and like tea with lemon and honey and all that. So, to get back to your question, sorry, we might need more than 45 minutes. I digress on every single question. I'm the worst. I'm an actor. I'm a voice actor. I started when I was really young. Actually, both my parents were choreographers, dance choreographers. And so I used to run around the basement doing all the lines from my favorite movies. Like Back to the Future, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters. I would memorize every single character's lines and do the whole thing. And they were just like, okay, well, do you want to take acting classes? Because you love this. And I did. I started taking children's theater here in Montreal. And then I got a few, you know, commercials from cattle call auditions where hundreds of kids show up. And I got a few of those. Which led me to get an agent and then my first role in a film. And then I just kept doing it. I loved it. I got a few big, so my big break kind of thing was as a kid was I was in Lassie. We did a remake of Lassie as well as Are You Afraid of the Dark and Goosebumps. I know Goosebumps is like big in the States. Everybody
love it over here. Yeah.
And Are You Afraid of the Dark? It was on Nickelodeon. So we grew up with it.
Oh, cool. Yeah. And I got to do a two-parter. The Goosebumps one was, was a to be continued episode. So that was really cool. So then I, you know, after high school, I was going to go into university and I got another part on a series and I decided, okay, well, maybe you should, you know, take a year off, do the series and then like finish the season and then apply again. And it went for a second season. And then I started getting voice gigs and I just kind of went, okay, well, this is what you want to do. This is what you've always wanted to do. You're getting work. So no reason to stop doing that, to go, you know, to go to school and train to do it. You're doing it. So I took a lot of, workshops and classes on the side, but I learned on set as a kid and I learned while I was doing doing contracts. So and then one thing led to another. I started doing a few radio commercials. And at first I was hesitant because I was kind of old school and my parents in theater were, you know, I don't know, for whatever reason, I thought commercials aren't really, it's not really acting, you know, that's a separate thing. But then, as you can tell, I guess a little bit with my ADHD, I'm all over the place. Commercials was like a perfect fit because it was, you know, you go in, you do one concept, it's a 30-second spot, but you have to be so precise and so hyper-focused on what's the demographic, what's the tone, and then it's done. And then you're on to another one next time. So I learned so much from doing commercials and the pace is just, it's really fun. It's very stimulating. And then I was doing voice commercials and then I started doing demos for video games, which are called vertical slices. So we would film a scene in the game to then present, to sell, you know, like, wouldn't this be a cool game kind of thing, like a demo. Mm-hmm. And I started doing a few of those for some companies in the city, and I did a few for Ubisoft as well. And then I guess someone there noticed, and I started getting bigger and bigger roles in the Ubisoft games, as well as a few other studios. And it just took off from there, and I love it now. It's I do voiceover work for games like Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, Ghost Recon, and The Division 1 and 2. And I also do motion capture when they put all the dots
cool.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. Yeah, it's super fun. And like the first time I did it, I didn't realize when we did the facial capture, there's a ton of lights in your face. So we're doing this military game with guns and we're running around, jumping, screaming, shooting. And I'm getting this headache. Like I have like a migraine. And I'm like, guys, is anyone else? And you know, it's kind of a macho, because it's a, you know, pretty tough game where it's all like military guys. And I'm like, is anyone else, like, my head's really, like, I'm getting a migraine. And they're like, yeah, you can turn your light off in between the takes. And I'm like, oh, thanks, man. 6 hours in, I have this spotlight in my face and no one told me you just click it off. Like,
oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's crazy though. No one, everybody looked over and was like, Todd's over there taking some good selfies.
Yeah. Light. Yeah. He's just in the zone. He's like, he's in character. Leave him. Like, no, I'm suffering over here.
that's great. How you kind of like, I guess started off as a child actor and moved into voice acting. Was voice acting something that once you started doing it, you were like, oh man, this is more my cup of tea? Or were those just the opportunities that started to present themselves and you leaned into that?
Yeah, a bit of both, I guess. But I do really like it. I fell in love with it in a way because I've said this so many times, but it's true. You hyper focus on the performance when you're doing voice. You don't, it doesn't matter where you are, what you look like, if your makeup's done, your costume, hitting your mark, none of that. There's not even a set. There's nothing. And you can almost close your eyes if you know the lines, if you're off book, and just focus on the delivery, how it's coming out, every little intonation. And I really like that. Like I got addicted to that hyper-focus level of performance. So, yeah.
Is there a specific technique that you use before you start going into something, or is it just generalized for you as a voice actor?
Yeah, well, I annoy everyone when I warm up. So I have to, I sing in the shower. I sing super loud. I clear my throat. I like to sing a lot of like Sinatra and the old stuff.
Oh, nice.
To get the bass in my voice and to work on the resonator. But then I'll also rap. Like I'll do, I used to do Busta Rhymes and Eminem, like the fast stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's so quick. And if you can get that out that quickly and enunciate, then for voice acting, it's easier. You know, like sometimes we have the legal where it's like, you know, for a limited time only at participating restaurants, 30 to 50% off. Like it's so fast, right?
Yeah, it is.
So you gotta, yeah.
Oh, so they don't speed that stuff up. You're really actually that fast.
Sometimes they do, but I try to get it. I try to get it in as quickly. And then they, yeah.
That's funny. And I guess if we can go into Kena a little bit, how did you find yourself in the role of Taro in Kena, Bridge of Spirits, working on so much Ubisoft stuff, et cetera?
Yeah, well, Kena was it was a smaller production company, like a smaller game company, and I wasn't really sure what the game was going to be when I went in. So a lot of times it's like that for video game actors. We sign NDAs and we don't really, we maybe get our lines before the session, but oftentimes we don't get anything until we arrive. And then we kind of assess from there and get briefed once we get there. But when I saw the script and the lines, I was like, kind of thinking like, this is a game. Like it's not a movie. Like this is like the cutscenes were longer. They were very emotionally, there was an emotional depth to them, as well as the character and the character development. So I was like, okay, this is really cool. And then we start recording, and the character I was voicing was, as you know, Taro is one of the tortured spirits that Kena has to guide and free. First confront and fight as a boss battle. Mm-hmm. And then I voice the version once he's freed from the torture. And there's so much, there was so much pain and grief and loss and guilt. Mm-hmm. And he's just racked with all these emotions. And it was nice. It was nice to be able to pour that much emotion into a character for a game. I was blown away by it. So I think people are going to be surprised at the quality of the storytelling in those cutscenes.
Yeah.
That they're going to experience. Yeah.
I'm really excited for it. Also, just to let you know, his computer just froze. So I'm not sure what happened. He's coming back in now though. So cool. A question that I did want to ask you too is like, did you feel out of all the characters you have played, did you feel as if Taro was maybe the hardest, or did it just require more emotional, like you're saying, like the emotional attachment?
Yeah, well, both. I mean, we all have pain that we experience in our lives. And I think it's easier sometimes to identify with that, 'cause you can really be vulnerable if you feel safe in the recording environment and with the people you're working with, and you can be vulnerable like that. It's almost easier to do that, 'cause you're not trying to, there's a place for your pain. There's a place to put it. And it's like an artistic outlet for the pain that we all experience in life. So I think it's good to do everything, to do a little bit, like, you know, commercials are extremely positive and they're upbeat. Mm-hmm. And then we do some of these other action games that are, you know, like it's at 100, it's every single scene is a life or death. You're throwing grenades, you're running from people, you know, like that's fun too, but it's also important and very, very liberating to do scenes where there's a lot of pain and you can let that all out. So, yeah.
That's pretty cool. Your last game that actually came out was Monster Hunter Stories 2, Wings of Ruin. And it's a game that I was actually looking forward to as well. Cool. What was that process like for you?
That was really cool as well. Yeah. 'Cause he was a character that already was in the other games, right? I did. Yeah. I played Cheval in that one. And so there was like an evolving, like his character has evolved. So they really wanted to make that clear. That he's, you know, been through some stuff and has now is acting as a guide for these new, for the new monster hunters and riders, I guess, in this one, like moving forward. Mm-hmm. I had to, the character was a little more mature, has seen some stuff and learned from his past mistakes. That was cool too. That was really cool. And the game did really well. I think I saw sold 1 million copies in the first few weeks or something. And that's another game too, that I knew it was big, but I didn't know to what extent the fans were out there and reacting to that game.
Oh, of course. Yes. Yeah. Yes. We're big fans of Monster Hunter here. So it's just cool to, like, you know, you have both, I mean, more than both, like you were on a childhood show of ours. So it's like really cool to like be able to pick your brain and just like, you know, get to know the person behind, you know what I mean? Like behind the acting. It's pretty cool.
Thanks. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Todd, I don't know if you guys, if Alyssa may have access while I dropped off, my computer froze, but I hate to make you choose a favorite. because nobody likes to choose a favorite, but is there like a favorite role or maybe even a favorite experience that you had, like the process that you went through to do that character or anything like that? Because I imagine, like you said, some are action, some are more like feeling based, like Taro and Keen and Bridge of Spirits. So is there something that you like to lean more towards that you feel like you do better or?
Can I pick a few? Do I have to say one?
Oh, no, okay, of course. Yeah.
It's not strict. The rules aren't so strict. Nah. I have to pick one. Okay, cool. Yeah. So there's three. So Taro is one because it was so grounded. The performance I found was so grounded and down to earth, and I let a lot of my own pain out in the performance, which was really good. Mm-hmm. And then also from Far Cry New Dawn, I played Bean, which I don't know if you've ever seen the character, but he's basically like, it's a post-apocalyptic world and everyone's so jaded and they're so tough and there's these survivalists. They're the ones that made it through. And so, for some reason, here's this like naive, you know, 17-year-old who doesn't know anything about the world with the super high pitched voice. And I was like, hey, I'm Bean. And like, it's just like the writer was like, her brief to me was like, we want the player to be like, how is this person alive? Like, how is in this world, how is this person still alive? And I'm like, okay, cool. Like super naive. And the lines that were just so well written. We laughed in the booth. Like we just would go in and we would just laugh the whole time. Like I would do a line and then we just laugh. The whole team, everyone. And it took longer because of how much we were laughing. So yeah, Bean. And then some moments went viral where in Far Cry New Dawn, you could throw a shovel at the NPCs as they're speaking and giving their, so there's so many shots online of, you know, hi, I'm Bean. Well, the highwaymen have just, and then bam, like I knocked out with a shovel, fall to the ground. And I'm like whimpering on the ground. Like, and the, you know, the players on Twitch are just like laughing about it. And so that was cool to see, like to see gamers interact with the character in a way that no one even thought about when we made the game. Like that was really cool. And then the others were, I guess, all the Tom Clancy titles from Ubisoft, because I got to do so many different characters in there, like smaller roles, but I got to play some of the agents. And then I got to play some of the Rikers, which are like, they break out of Riker's prison. Mm-hmm. And so from super tactical to, you know, like street in the streets, shotgun on one arm, you know, machete in the other, like just roaming the streets, the walk, we worked on the walks and it was just so different. The physicality of the Tom Clancy games was like incredible. So, and I learned a lot too from the consultants, like the military consultants on there. It was just like, it was incredible. All the tactics we were learning and stuff. Very cool.
That's so awesome. That is so awesome. I know Mondo's a huge fan of Division. So
I am. Yeah.
He's geeking on the inside, believe it or not.
Cool.
So I guess we could, you know, talk a little bit more about Kena. We don't really want to push it too much. We know the game comes out in just about 2 weeks, but something that really stood out to the both of us when we first saw this during the PlayStation event last year was the fact that it felt and looked like a Disney Pixar film. So if you can, in as many words as you can, explain to us, you know, where was there inspiration, do you know, from Pixar at all?
I'm not sure. It looks like it, but I'm not sure. I haven't spoken to the creators on their creative process, mm-hmm. but it looks like that was just a personal observation because it looks like that. And in the visuals, when you see the trailers, they go from so light and in this like beautiful, visually stimulating environment, you know, that's just beautiful. And then it goes to the boss battles and it's so intense. And she's such a warrior and like, you know, fights with all her heart and like she's trained it, you know, like, so, and I just like that. I like that as a metaphor to, you know, a true warrior has to come from a place of heart and levity and is fighting for a more beautiful world. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they accomplish that visually. They accomplish that with the music. They accomplish that with the storytelling. The dialogue, everything, just you get that dichotomy, that you know, there is evil in the world. You have to fight it. It's just great. I'm sorry. I'm fanning out about it too. So
it's okay. We're really looking forward to it because I feel like it's different from what we're used to seeing. But it just looks amazing. And to know that you were a part of it excites us even more because now we can like, when we meet Tara, we'll be like, oh my God, that's Todd. He did this amazing job. Cool. It'll be so much fun for us.
Awesome. I can't wait to play it too. I don't know. It's coming out in a few weeks. So,
So you do play, I was going to ask you, do you play the video games you're in or just video games across the board?
I play video games across the board. I watch the games I'm in actually, like okay. I'll go on Twitch and I'll watch people playing them. I'm like old school. So like I'm 36. So I grew up with like Diablo 2. And then when Diablo 3 came out, I played that a lot. I played the Call of Duties, the original Call of Duties and Modern Warfare. I tried Fortnite. This is not me bragging. This is me thinking there's something with the AI, like how they match you. But on my second game, I came in first place out of 100. And I'm like, they must match you like with beginners because there's no way, like, I don't even know how to build the, I don't know how to build the constructs, right? Like I'm just going around playing like Call of Duty. I'm like hiding behind bushes so I like all games. But lately I find, my son is 6 and I have another one on the way and we're renovating the kitchen and I'm working like crazy. So I have to play games now that have an out, you know, like it's a match and then it's done. So I do a match and then I'm out. Cause Diablo, I can get caught up playing for like hours and hours and hours, all these RPGs that never end. Like, so I have to watch myself.
I feel you on the Diablo thing. I've many times got to run through the monk, got to run through all of them, max them all, run it over again. Yeah.
Let's do just one more run. We'll do one more run.
One more run. One more game. Yeah. As it relates to doing the role for Taro, because we know this was a game that was announced mid-pandemic. And so I imagine that a lot of this work was done. I see you have a home studio and all that. So, but I'm sure you're used to maybe going to the actual studio to record there with people in person. I imagine there were struggles. What kind of hurdles did you guys have to work through that you weren't used to pre-pandemic? And are those things still happening today? Has some sense of normality returned to the work?
Yeah, the video game production kept going during the pandemic. They were one of the first places for as an actor where they opened back up because voice work is one. It's just one, like it's just us in the booth. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they had very great sanitary measures. So they would completely disinfect the booth between actors. They would book us 15 minutes apart. So we barely crossed each other in the halls. We had to do everything, you know, and keep the mask on while they adjusted the mic. And then once the technician would leave, then I could take the mic off and like, okay, I'm in the booth. Mm-hmm. That's okay. I'm here. So less in-person meetings. I wouldn't go into the, you know, into the control room and do the briefing. We would do everything from the booth. We would also have, they set up, you know, Zoom. That's showing my age.
It's okay. We would have said Skype.
We were on Skype too. Yeah.
Yeah. So like the director was, you know, somewhere else remotely. So it was just myself, the audio technician, and then everyone else, and I had a camera on me. So that was rare because we're very rarely recorded while we're doing our voice work. So my kind of private space that I'm usually in a dark room alone where they just hear me was kind of different now because there's, you know, 5 or 6 people mm-hmm. watching me as I'm doing it. And I'm not used to that. Like when I'm on camera, you're kind of used to that. But when you're mm-hmm. doing voice, you know, you make faces and you do all kinds of weird stuff to get the performance. And you're like, oh, but they're all watching me now. So it's kind of...
yeah.
Yeah. We're very lucky that they opened back up and that they were allowed to. And now same thing. It's kind of I preferred doing voice work during the pandemic than going on set because I did a small role in a film and and something else on a physical set. And it's just, I applaud everyone that's doing it right now, all the actors and the crew members, because it's a lot more. A set is already a high stress environment. You know, you're trying to get the shot in, you're fighting against the light, every minute is money. But now, you know, driving actors and crew to and from set is like one or two at a time. Everyone has the masks on. Everyone's in your trailer. You're getting your makeup done in a plastic bubble. Like everything is just, it wasn't as pleasant as it used to be, but the voice work, luckily wasn't as affected. It was as fun as it always was.
Well, that's good to know, because I feel like, you know, it's probably just assumed because you have a setup at home that you probably had to spend most of your time at home. But it's nice to know that you got to go out and, you know, be a little bit of a human and kind of socialize without actually socializing. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I did notice. Oh, sorry. Just to add to that. I did notice that, like, when we used to go in to do, let's say, a radio commercial or a voice commercial, we would do the recording and then wait in the waiting room. And everyone would be on their phone doing their own thing, reading a book or whatever. Hey, what are you in for? Oh, cool. And we wouldn't chat very much. Sometimes, yeah. But during the pandemic, when they opened back up, we would go out. Okay, we would do our thing. Wait when we were waiting in the waiting room together, we were all talking. We couldn't stop talking to each other because we were so happy to see someone else and to have, like, okay, like, this is the only place we're allowed to gather together anyway. So, and we have to for work, to the point where one time they had to kick us out. They were like, okay, you guys are all done. Like, you know, you're all approved. You're finished. You can leave now. And we're like, oh, okay. We don't want to, but okay.
Yeah. Congratulations, by the way, on your second child. Cause you didn't mention that. How exciting is that to have kids, have your child experience the same things you did when you were a kid?
Very, very exciting. I'm really, really excited about it. My son now is, he's in first grade, and he's, like, I showed him a movie that I was in, and he was like, oh yeah, cool. Like, he, you know, like, it was just second nature for him. Like, he knows I, and sometimes he'll like sit at my desk and he'll like pretend. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm preparing for an audition. okay. Like, for what role? Like, you know, and yeah, so now we're just trying to wrap up renovations, and we got our second on the way, so just in a month. So I'm just I'm excited.
did your oldest like take a, when they first found out that you were voice acting, that you were the person behind some of these characters, were they shocked? Were they kind of like taken aback by it? Because I can imagine for a young kid, like, that's like, what do you mean that's you? You're right here.
I think he was more surprised that there are people behind these characters than
the character.
That it's me, you know, like, he was like, okay, yeah, that's what you do. Like, once he understood that concept, he's like, oh, and you're one of those people. But it was more the like, but what do you mean? Like, Chase is Chase in Paw Patrol. And I'm like, no, it's a person who does the voice of Chase. He's like, okay, like, skeptical, you know, but
yeah,
like, you're really ruining this for me.
Yeah, thanks, Dad.
Has he ever wanted you to voice Chase, or anyone that's like, he watches?
It's funny. So when I'm reading a story, like, if I'm reading stories, sometimes he wants me to do the voices, but sometimes I'll do the voices and he's like, Dad, just read regular, just read your voice. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Gotta love kids. They're amazing. They're funny. Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything else in regards to Kena that we could touch on. We covered a lot of stuff as far as the voice acting. I do want to say one thing, actually, because I mentioned earlier that Alyssa had some interest in voice acting or anything like that. And you did tell us that you got that early start with your parents guiding you, pushing you towards that. Do you have any advice or just tips that you could give somebody who is looking to pursue that career path, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. First thing is, like, practice all the time. So if you're reading a book or you're reading an article in a magazine, even read that out loud and read it in different voices and different as faster, slower, just play with your you know, not on the bus, obviously, like, you know, but when you're at home and you have some time to yourself and, you know, just explore and like, if you have like kids or nieces and nephews, read them stories, experiment with different voices and stuff and characters. And then if you really want to get into it, just realize that just like any career in the arts or entrepreneurship or anything, there is a lot of rejection. So if you just understand that from the get-go, it'll save you a lot of, you know, pain and misery, because even good actors that book a lot get like 1 out of 10 auditions. So you have to realize it's not sustainable to get crushed every time you don't get something. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. of course, that's always going to happen. Even when you're super successful, there's someone else maybe that fits that role better, and just don't take it personally. Just keep going. I think also don't necessarily think that you have to arrive to your career goals in the one way that you saw it was going to happen. You know, like I didn't know I was going to be a voice actor primarily. And had I booked a part on a TV series, like my plan was to just like mm-hmm. keep working on TV shows forever, you know, and I would never have started screenwriting. I never would have gotten into voice games. I never would have done all these things that I do now. So it's hard in the moment when doors close, but just realize that they will open up to other avenues and try to stay open for some magic to happen.
That's some great advice, honestly. Yeah, just in general, because I think there is, like, for anyone who's listening, obviously, it's just sometimes you think things will pan out a certain way if you continue on a certain path, and it's not necessarily guaranteed. But you speak about, or you talk to us about, like, you know, recently you were on set for a film. Do you ever see yourself going back to television or wanting to do that again at all?
Yeah, well, I think the silver lining to you know, not having booked a lot of things in television for the last few years was that I learned the craft of screenwriting and voice acting. So now I have a solid career, so that if I do want to go back to on-screen stuff, I can be a little more selective and I can say, you know, okay, well, I really want to do this kind of role, or this project came up and I want to do that. Or I can write a project, and if I do see a role for myself in it, okay, that's, I'll play that. Mm-hmm. Like, so, yeah, I do definitely see myself going back, just with a more selective and more strategic in the roles that I decide to take.
Do you have a dream role? Like, if you could play any character or any person, who would it be?
Yeah, I do. I really like shows like Silicon Valley on HBO. Okay. And I just watched Hacks. Have you guys seen Hacks on HBO?
I have not, no.
Oh, it's so good. So like, I like these like comedies about like Silicon Valley. What appeals to me is that like, it's the tech world. It's they highlight how ridiculous some of this stuff is that goes on. And I have an idea for a show that's kind of like in that same vein, but for space exploration. So like with a company like SpaceX or Boeing or like Blue Origin. So to play a character in there would be fun. Either, you know, either like the Richard Hendricks kind of character, or if not, I you know, it is fun sometimes to play the arrogant, villain or antagonist, you know, the one who thinks he's got it all figured out, made of money, doesn't have a problem in the world. Like those are fun. It's fun to play those characters, to make fun of that kind of person. Yeah. So
kind of like, a little excessive in the bravado, and it's just fun being that way. That's really cool.
Yeah, exactly. But funny too, you know, like you want to laugh at the person. You don't want to mm-hmm. be like, oh yeah, you're so cool. Like you're kind of like, it's a little too much.
Leaning into that too. You're already speaking about the other things that you're already doing and goals you have. What's the next step after voice acting? Is there like an end goal, like a something you want this to transition into, producer, executive producer, director, things of that nature?
Yeah, I always want to build my own company. Like I want to create my own content. So writing is the first step in there. I remember at one point I was drawn towards voice directing or screenwriting. And I just made the call that at that point in my life, I needed to be alone with my own thoughts and my own creativity for a while. So I decided to go into writing. But yeah, I eventually want to write things that either animation, I want to, and I can do a lot of the voice work myself with other friends that are voice actors. So create some animation, create some on-screen streaming shows, and eventually, yeah, be an executive producer and have my own production company. And I think the recent, I was like, that's my path. But then the recent, you know, with Reese Witherspoon, her company just got bought for like $900 yeah. million dollars or something. It's like, that was extra motivation. And then also, no, I mean, we do this for the art, but that's really cool also.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. And then, and Matt Stone and Trey Parker, same thing with South Park. They got the same kind of deal to make, you know, 14 movies in another season. And that's because it's their IP, it's their content. Yeah. So yeah, I want to move into that kind of thing in the next few years, hopefully.
Cool. No, that's cool. And I love how you said bringing my friends to do the thing, because I mean, part of growing yourself is also reaching out to those around you and pulling them in and helping them up too.
So yeah, building awesome. A strong team. Yeah, building a strong team is so important. Yeah, absolutely.
100%. That's why Alyssa got me. She's a big boss. This is her podcast. She was like, "Oh, you want this?"
It's not. It's both our podcast, and we both have a great time on it. So don't listen to him, please.
No, kidding.
Well, I believe it because I'm having a great time. So thanks for.
Oh yes, on. Yes. No, thank you for joining us and hanging out with us. It's been really fun to just learn and get to know the process. Yeah.
Actually, another question, because you're based out of Montreal, Canada.
Yeah.
By the way, I love the city. I'm obsessed with Montreal, same. Quebec City. It's beautiful.
Oh, nice. Yeah. We love it in the summer. And the winter's not so great, but the summer is really
nice. Summer. I went in the summer. So that's why.
Cool. Okay.
Do you mostly do work with Canadian companies, or have you found yourself, as you've grown, leading more into the States, maybe Europe, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, we have a lot of, we're lucky because Montreal is a big gaming city. Like, we have Ubisoft and we have WB Games here, and there's a few other studios that are opening up here as well. So that's really cool. And it was a hub for American movies for a long time, and they still come in to shoot. So I do work on a lot of American productions that shoot here, or remotely I can work in the States. But yeah, and Europe, not so much. I haven't really reached out to the European market as much. I did shoot a movie in China one time, way back. It was a martial arts movie. Yeah, it was really a great experience. But yeah, I'd love to work more in the States. I'm working on my, you know, the paperwork to go about doing that. So yeah.
Cool. Then you'll be on our side, and you know, be like, oh, look, it's Todd. He's like. What was it like being on like Assassin's Creed? Like, what was that like for you?
That was really cool because the first role I had was in Assassin's Creed 2. I played Bernardo Baroncelli, and he's like a slimy banker that's in with the Templars, and you get to assassinate him. And then I'm in the white room, you know, like dying, and I give him some information before I die. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. And then Assassin's Creed 3, I played Mason Weems, who's in Bridewell Prison when you get imprisoned, and he helps the main character get out of prison with some cryptic puzzles, and you have to play a game with him, and he's kind of this mysterious character, and he's a huge supporter of George Washington, like he's like adamantly defending him, and then from there I got to play George Washington, so I don't know if something about my speech as that character led to play George Washington in Assassin's Creed Rogue. But yeah, I got to do that. Excuse me. Sorry. Yeah. And, the young George Washington. So I just think that the series is just, it's awesome. Like it's
pretty fun
all over the world, and they keep coming out with cooler and cooler versions of it. And, yeah.
Pretty cool game.
Oh, and sorry, one of the craziest things was that was when they first started doing facial capture, like facial recognition. Oh. But the technology was still in its infancy. Like they were and it was a bicycle helmet basically with a vice grip on this side and a vice grip on this side. And it was so tight on your head with all these wires and everything. And now it's like, it's way better. It's just this light carbon fiber, amazing. But it was a bicycle helmet, essentially. And I remember the director said, okay, you can take a break now. And I said, no, I'm good. I'm good. Let's keep going. You know, I was like in my 20s and I wanted to power through it. And he goes, no, you should take a break because I don't see, your face isn't moving anymore. You're saying the lines, but your face is like not moving anymore.
Because
I was so like, just like, so I took a break and I came back and I was like, okay, that's better. Now you look human again. Like it was just, cause it was so tight, you know, but anyway.
Oh, no, you can go. Listen.
No, you can go. I was going to ask about the physicality of like acting out a video game versus like voicing the character just alone. Which one do you find more, I guess, fun?
It depends on the, sometimes the motion capture can be tedious because we have to do, you know, what would happen if the player goes here or goes here or goes here or presses this at this second or at this second. There's so many walks. Okay. Walk mm-hmm. straight, walk in a slight angle, walk in a slightly more angle. Like it's very just repetitive. But then again, some days it's, you know, okay, you're in a helicopter and the helicopter gets shot down and you fly out of the helicopter, you know, and you're like, okay, this is going to be cool. You know, you're practicing and then there's a crash mat. You throw yourself into the crash mat. Like you just get to play, you know? So sometimes yeah. But what's tough is with the NDAs, we don't always know what we're going to do. So mm-hmm. I remember one time I wasn't prepared for a big physical day and we were getting shot and thrown out of helicopters. And then the next time I went in, I was like pumped. I was like, let's do this. And they're like, okay, so you're in a crowd and you're kind of listening to someone talk for like 4 hours. And I'm like, okay, so just kind of like standing there and all I want to do, you know, like, so you got to be ready for anything at any moment. You're like, okay, oh, we'll do this now.
And just leaning more into the physicality of it, how long can you do like a voice acting session before you start to feel like it's strained, like it's too much?
Yeah, there's new rules now. It's about 4 hours we do. Okay. So it was like kind of the Wild West when everything started out because there was no precedent set for how long you can do those voice sessions for video games. And especially we have barks. And Onos, they're called, like, you know, getting shot in the arm, getting shot in the leg, getting punched in the stomach. You know, you have to do all those different or falling off a building, stuff like that. So, yeah, it's 4 hours. We usually take breaks and we split up. They used to save all of the screaming for the end, which is a fun sentence on its own. You used to save all the screaming for the end. But yeah, no, like now we do like a bit of screaming, then we go back to the lines, then we go a bit of screaming back to the lines, and that helps because once you shred your voice, it's very hard to get it back. But mm-hmm. if you do, like, you know, you push it and then you give it a break and you push it and you give it a break, it's like doing a couple of sets of an intense like deadlift or whatever. Mm-hmm. Instead of just going to failure, you do a few, take a break, a few, and that seems to work better. I also had one time where I was same thing. I was surprised again because they told me, okay, you're playing the role of the sniper. And I got so excited. I was like, oh, sniper. So he's off in the woods trying not to give away his position. So I'm just going to be talking like this the whole time. It's going to be so easy. And then the first line is like, he's on fire running through the, like, what is this? It was like, it was 4 hours of screaming. Like the whole thing was just, I'm like, I thought he was off in the distance.
Screaming for 4 hours or anything like that. Have you experienced any injury, mild or severe or anything like that?
No, I'm pretty outspoken though. When it starts to go, I say something. I'm like, hey, can we go to other parts of the script or can we, which I know not a lot of actors feel comfortable saying. And I wish they would, because it's better for production actually, if you let them know ahead of time, because yeah. then, you know, you're not gonna, if you shoot your voice, if you try to like be tough and shoot your voice, then 2 hours in, there's still another 2 hours. So you're better off to tell them, take the 5 minutes, have a tea with some, you know, honey and just relax, as opposed to trying to be tough and then you're done. So, yeah, I'm pretty good at that now. I'm able to speak up and say when I need a break. And there's also the directors are more, way more understanding now too, because they understand, they've seen it for a few years now. So they're better and they can sense it sometimes. Like sometimes they'll say, hey, just take a break. Cause you know, you don't want to shoot it mm-hmm. too early, you know? So, yeah, it's a lot better now. So yeah.
Is okay. that the same for, well, you have you done animation at all? Like, cartoons?
A few. Yeah. I did a movie called Race Time. It was, like a 3D animation kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I did another movie called April and the Extraordinary World.
Ooh.
Yeah. Susan Sarandon was in that one as well. And, I think Paul Giamatti played a role. And so I played one of the main characters, like friend and tried to guide her through the story. So yeah, I've done a few, and I did cartoons when I was a kid more. I voiced some cartoon stuff.
So is it the same where it's like a slotted amount of hours for you guys to like voice act and then you're good for the day? Or is it a much longer process?
Yeah. So it's usually same thing, 4 hours. We can do 8 hour sessions if we're doing like group sessions. So like mm-hmm. everyone's together, and like I'll do my lines, they do their lines. Because then it's not just on you, right? But if you go through a movie and you do all of your lines for the whole movie, it can be very long, an 8 hour day, because it's just there's no breaks, there's no okay now your turn, like it's just you on 24/7. So yeah,
cool.
And do you prefer one or the other, or are there like pros and cons to each that you like, or being in a room with a group or being in a room by yourself to deliver your lines?
Yeah, there's pros and cons. Definitely. Definitely. I like doing both. You know, I appreciate being alone in the room to focus and do my own thing. And I like playing off someone else, you know? So it's just to be able to do both is fun, which is why, like, I try not to do just one thing, like just do video games or animation or on-screen stuff. It's like, I do it all, because then it's, you get perspective. I find the more ways you come at the entertainment industry, the more perspective you gain. So if you're writing, you see it from that angle, you're directing, you see it from that angle, you know, it just helps to, cause it's a beast of its own. Like the entertainment industry, like there's so many aspects to it. Mm-hmm. There's so many different markets, so many different, avenues. So yeah, helps gain perspective.
Do you, are you the type of actor that likes to memorize their lines, or do you just like cold reads?
I like to memorize. Yeah. No, I really like to memorize. And it was hard for me at first with video games, because we wouldn't be given a lot of the stuff. So I was like a child actor, you know, on TV shows back in the 90s. It was like, no, we get our scripts, we memorize the entire thing, we're off mm-hmm. book, and then we go. Right. So I was like, what do you mean? I'm going to get it when I get there. Like I would freak out. Just like, but I'm getting used to it. So that's good.
Yeah. Did that take some getting used to? Cause I imagine, Is it easy for it to come off like you're reading it off of a paper instead of actually just acting it? Is that why you prefer memorizing?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause once it's in your head, then you can internalize it. And like, now you can just let it go. It's about the emotion at that point. But when you're still, so I always go ahead one, I read my line. And then while they're checking to see if it's good, I read the next line and I do it a few times in my head so that, okay, it's clear. Let's do it. And if not, I say like, just wait a second. Let me read it for the music of it, you know? And I read it mm-hmm. a few times and then, okay, all right, let's do it. Let's get in.
What's the longest like monologue you've had to do?
there was lines,
500 words type thing. No,
there was one that like, so I'm used to doing really, really long lines, like explanatory lines, especially in games. Cause it's like, you know, you must take the crystal down to the part, like, you know, it's just long, mm-hmm. long explanation. And I'm used to screaming like, you know, getting falling off a building or whatever. But there was one, there was one game. It was like, it was town crier, you know, like the person who announces everything, like hear ye, here comes the king or what. But it was like, it was this long, like it was this almost a page long, but at full volume to a crowd of 300. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, like, you know, it's like getting into the details of the taxation system and like, oh, come on, man. Like,
It's that guy we walk past while he's, you know, and as a main character, you walk past him and you're just like, okay, this guy's
yeah, whatever. And and they fade it out, right? Mm-hmm. They fade it out. But when the actor doing it has to do it at 100% volume for the whole thing. And it's not, it's just terrible.
it serves its purpose, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure you delivered. I'm sure you delivered.
Yeah. We know you did a great job. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
do you have any last questions? I feel like I don't. I'm trying to rack my brain.
Yeah, I feel like we touched on past, present, future aspirations. I don't know.
I feel like we touched on Kina as much as we, you know, respectfully want to as well. Do you have any last things that you would like to say in regards to anything, whether it's Kina, voice acting?
No, I honestly feel like we covered everything, and I just want to say thanks again for having me on. And if both of you ever want to do an Instagram live on, I do Instagram live interviews. So if you ever want to be on my show to talk about your show, I would love to have you on if you're interested. So
100, we would 100%. Love to. We would love to. Cool. Tell people where they can find you, actually, your social media and things like that.
So you can follow me on Instagram at It's Todd Fennell, or on Twitter, it's at Todd Fennell, and Facebook is at Todd Fennell.
Cool.
I don't have YouTube yet. I'm not cool enough for a YouTube account, but
you'll get there. Don't. We'll get there.
Cool. But yeah, all right. Thanks, Todd. Appreciate you spending this time with us. This was really informative. Really great.
Yeah. A lot of our listeners are going to be excited about this one. We told them cool. We had a prize for them. So we're excited.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right, everybody. That was episode 39 of The Save Point. Our interview with Todd Fennell, a voice actor who's playing Taro in Kena: Bridge of Spirits. Really looking forward to hearing his performance in that game. Hope you guys found his advice on voice acting and just his overall come up of how he became a voice actor interesting and influential. But I think that's it for team. On that note, y'all have a wonderful day. Afternoon, evening. If you're listening on a podcast services, which I assume you are because this is the only place the episode is available, leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing. Give us some feedback. And we'll see you soon. Deuces.
Deuces.